We have had troops in Korea for over 5.5 decades. We have had troops in Europe and Japan for about as long. How many years is enough? An American presence in these places was supposed to be temporary, persisting only during the military emergencies that were cited as justification for bringing them there. Milton Friedman was right. There is nothing so permanent as a temporary government program. With a $9 trillion debt, perhaps $50 trillion in entitlement liabilities, and the dollar in free fall, how much longer can we afford this unnecessary and counterproductive extravagance? While our government engages in deficit spending to fund its military exploits overseas, detracting from our own productivity, countries like China are filling the void by expanding their trade opportunities. I have never understood this talk of our military presence as a strategic reserve of Western civilization. Instead, the best indication of our civilization has been our prestige in international trade. We should let the best measure of our American greatness come from free and peaceful trade with other nations, not from displays of our military might. Now, it would be a great step forward if we could even debate the foreign policy we have now, a policy that, with a few minor differences, is shared by the establishment of both major parties. One writer correctly labels it, the debate we never have. Although many Americans oppose the continued expansion of big government abroad, non-intervention is never presented to them as an option. The so-called debates between pundits they see on television or read in the newspaper carefully limit the range of debate to the point of insignificance. The debate is always framed in terms of which kind of interventionist strategy our government should pursue. The possibility that we should avoid bleeding ourselves dry in endless foreign meddling is not raised. For heaven's sake, what kind of debate is it in which all sides agree that America needs troops in 130 countries? That may have been the kind of debate that the old Pravda once allowed, but where is the robust exchange of ideas that we should expect in a free society? If we ever have such a debate, some Americans may conclude that the increased risk of terrorism is a price they are willing to pay in order to continue our government's interventionist foreign policy. Others will realize that foreign interventionism is bankrupting us and making us less secure. However it came out, at least we would have had the debate. At the end of such a debate, Michael Schauer concludes, Americans may decide that the foreign policy status quo that exists at the moment is what they want. But if they do, they will at least go into it with their eyes open and know that they are in for an extended period of war, a tremendously bloody and costly war. Meanwhile, our lack of debate has had terrible consequences for our republic. James Bamford observes that the leadership of Al-Qaeda hoped to lure us into a desert Vietnam, an enormously expensive war that would deplete our resources and help their own recruitment by stirring up the locals against us. And that is just what happened. The war's ultimate cost is being estimated in the trillions. The dollar is collapsing, and more terrorists are being created. According to a study by the Global Research and International Affairs Center in Herzliya, Israel, the vast bulk of the foreign fighters in Iraq are people who had never been involved in terrorist activity before, but have been radicalized by the U.S. presence in Iraq, the second holiest place in Islam. The terrorists, in short, have played us like a fiddle. With the unnecessary and unprovoked attack on Iraq, our government gave them just what they wanted. Americans have the right to defend themselves against attack. That is not at issue. But that is very different from launching a preemptive war against a country that had not attacked us and could not attack us, that lacked the Navy and an Air Force, and whose military budget was a fraction of a percent of our own. The policy of overthrowing or destabilizing every regime our government dislikes is no strategy at all, unless our goal is international chaos and domestic impoverishment. It is time for us to consider a strategic reassessment of our policy of foreign interventionism, occupation, and nation building. It is in our national interest to do so, and in the interest of world peace. This is a message that resonates not only with the American people at large, but also with U.S. military personnel. In the second quarter of 2007, our campaign raised more money from active duty and retired military than did any other Republican candidate. And in the third quarter, we raised more than any candidate in either party. This message is popular, and it is based on American security, fiscal sanity, and common sense.